Dateline Washington, Wednesday, December 3rd, 2008. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, the state of the auto industry. We'll talk with Marty Padgett, editor of thecarconnection.com, one of the leading websites on the state of the automotive industry. We'll ask him exactly what the auto executives want from Congress this week, what their restructuring plans call for, what the unions are willing to give up, and what would happen if, in fact, Congress says no to one or even all three of the leading domestic auto manufacturers. Also in this edition, the view from Capitol Hill. Michigan Republican Congressman Thaddeus McCotter is with us to explain why he says this bridge loan to the auto industry is vital, and he explains why this is a very different proposal coming before Congress than the $700 billion bailout for the financial industry, which the congressman strongly opposed. Plus, Republicans keep the filibuster. Republican Saxby Chambliss keeps his Senate seat in Georgia with a resounding victory over Democrat Jim Martin. We'll talk about the significance of that win with Amber Wilkerson, press secretary for the Republican National Committee, and also get her update from the Minnesota Senate recount and news that Florida Senator Mel Martinez is calling it quits in 2010. We'll also talk with Jim Corey from the National Association of Chiefs of Police about a new report suggesting the U.S. is extremely vulnerable to attack from a weapon of mass destruction. All that plus Wednesday's headlines follows our discussion with Marty Padgett of thecarconnection.com, and that begins right now. My first guest in this edition is Marty Padgett. He is editor of thecarconnection.com, one of the leading automotive industry websites on the internet. He joins us now to talk about the auto industry executives coming back to Washington with a more detailed restructuring plan for how they would use any sort of federal assistance approved by Congress in this lame duck session. And Marty, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
In terms of what the automaking executives are saying differently this time around, they've obviously been told to go back and come up with a more specific plan for how they would use this money. From what we know of their restructuring plans, which ones do you think are going to be seen most favorably by lawmakers?
Well, I think the first point is that all of the proposals have a much more urgent tone to them. I don't think that a week ago that General Motors was ready to announce that it was so close to insolvency. They really need an immediate cash injection so they can stay in business into January. That was the most important thing that I found in the last set of announcements. I think Ford actually seems to be best positioned right now because it has demonstrated that it has the money to carry through next year, but they've also talked before about different hybrid and electric vehicles that they had planned on releasing, and they're moving those up. I think it's a really tangible effort to show how different their business is going to be a year from now.
Marty, why are things so dire at GM, even compared to when Rick Wagoner was in Washington last month? We reported some very bad November sales, but how did they get to the point where they're literally only weeks away from non-existing?
Well, sales have all but stopped in some model lines. The access to credit that consumers were using to buy new vehicles has dried up. And the interest in buying what GM specializes in, big trucks and big SUVs, has all but dried up too. So with the perfect storm of financial circumstances has really swept away any plans that they had to be able to ride out this financial crisis.
So is there a better chance for GM to at least get that immediate infusion of, I think they want about $4 billion just to stay afloat for the next couple of months? Or will lawmakers kind of look at them and say, even if we help you, we're not sure that you're going to be able to survive?
I think there's agreement that the government doesn't want to let GM fail, because particularly since we have a Democratic administration coming in, the UAW is a big contingency within that, and they realize that if GM fails, it takes a lot of unionized jobs with it. Never mind what it does to the rest of the economy. The future of Chrysler, I think, is in a lot more limbo than General Motors.
What are we going to see here in the months ahead? What, in addition to this immediate infusion of cash, will GM really need to do in order to make themselves viable without government assistance in the long run?
Well, I think they need to accelerate some changes that have already been put into place but haven't taken place yet. Different pay rates for unionized workers are coming for 2010. I think they're talking with the UAW about accelerating that. I think there has to be some resolution to all this massive pension and health care benefit this cost that they have sitting on their plates that the Japanese and German transplant car makers don't have. That's they need to buy time right now, and they need to buy a solution in January.
We're talking with Marty Padgett, editor of thecarconnection.com. And Marty, what happens to the so-called legacy costs as this restructuring happens? Are those retirees and their pensions and benefits on the chopping block to some extent, or will those commitments be honored depending on how this shakes out in Washington?
Well, I think it's going to be a socialized cost. You and I and everybody listening is going to have some role in paying those off. And I think those retirees could likely expect that some of those benefits are going to be trimmed down. Again, I don't think it's going to be socially or fiscally acceptable to just let all those people, let them wander, let their pension benefits go away. I just don't think that that is something that a Democratic administration is going to allow to happen.
Is it clear at this point, Marty, that GM is in the most dire need of emergency government assistance, or are Chrysler and even to some extent Ford in immediate need of help?
Well, I think all three companies are in the same boat. They're just in the water is a lot higher at the GM and Chrysler end of the boat.
And describe the Chrysler situation in a little more detail, if you can, because they also, in their restructuring plan, said they needed immediate infusion of billions of dollars to stay afloat.
Well, Chrysler really does. And the difference is that Chrysler's fundamentals are a lot worse than General Motors. Chrysler, really, I think the solution that a lot of people are looking for in the industry is that the working pieces of the Chrysler car company are absorbed by other companies. And that seemed like it might be an option for General Motors at one point, for the Chinese automotive industry, even for Nissan to accept or to take an interest in part of Chrysler. Right now, it's there are some businesses within Chrysler that work, the truck lineup, the minivans, and the Jeep brand. The rest of it remains to be decided probably by Congress.
A couple of things politically are working against the automakers, in addition to their balance sheets, of course. Number one is that, according to the most recent surveys, about 60% of the American people don't like the idea of a bailout for the automotive industry. And, of course, a lot of people have a bad taste in their mouth about the $700 billion bailout for the financial industry that is still being hammered out to some extent. So how concerned are auto industry executives that they're not going to get what they really feel they need here?
I think they should be very concerned. I think that the $700 billion bailout that first came around, nobody liked it, but we were all concerned that the financial system was going to collapse around us. I'm not sure people have that sense of urgency about this at all. I think given the presence of a lot of transplant automakers here, people outside of the car culture don't realize how deeply indebted our economy is to the domestic car companies. And I think that they think that a year from now, if Detroit didn't exist in its current form, we wouldn't be all that worse off as a country. It's very, very much the opposite. The collapse of General Motors would cause a chain of collapses within the economy, and it could push jobless rates up by a million or a million and a half people.
One of the issues, of course, we're dealing with before the automotive industry crisis came to the fore in this whole economic mess was the credit crisis, and some kind of see them separately. But to what extent has the inability to extend credit in recent months led to the really dismal sales figures we're seeing? Is that a critical factor, or was the industry already in a tailspin?
I wouldn't say a tailspin, but the fact that the credit collapse occurred at the same time that fuel prices were still pretty high and had just come off of record highs didn't help anybody. It didn't help General Motors, again, because it sells a lot of SUVs and trucks. So it was really a double whammy.
And this is kind of an aside, but it would seem to get more attention than really almost the condition of the industry itself a few weeks ago when the executives were in town, and that's the fact that they took the corporate jets out here to appear at those hearings. Now they're selling them, they're driving out here, and how much do they believe they were hurt just public relations-wise last time?
I think they understood that message the day after they got back to Detroit. You really don't want to drive a Cadillac. You don't want to fly a corporate jet to your own hanging. And really, if you're going to the government and asking for money, you should look. You should not be wearing your finest suit.
So, in terms of what they will be saying this week, we've seen at least the high points of their restructuring plans. What sort of tone do you expect them to strike over the next couple of days? How do you expect them to change, perhaps, how they ask for the billions of dollars in assistance?
Well, it's going to be very different. They're going to be very humbled, and particularly for GM and Chrysler, they're going to be very upfront about how dire the situation is. what I've noticed and talked over with some colleagues is that Ford is kind of stepping up to the plate. Alan Mulally has less to worry about right now, today, than the other companies, but still he's making the very public gestures, and he's almost going out on behalf of the American auto industry, not just his company. And that's a positive step. He's coming across as very credible.
As you mentioned, Marty, there's a very high union component here as well, and that's why you believe that in the end the Democratic majority won't let that happen because of their strong connection with organized labor. What concessions is labor making, or are they poised to make, perhaps, in order to make all this work?
I think they're poised to get rid of the jobs bank, which is the guaranteed employment to some degree for a lot of their workers. I think they're also going to be willing to deal on the amounts in terms of money that are contributed to the UAW's health care fund that they set up a couple of years ago. It basically allows the car companies to get the health care monies off of their books. And I think there's going to have to be some forgiveness for some of the monies that are due soon. What I think will happen in return is that the promise of the Obama administration to sign off on card check rules is going to just have to be accepted. You know, we're going to have to accept a greater ability to unionize in exchange for being able to forgive some of these debts.
And last 30 seconds before we let you go here, Marty, it would seem that if there's going to be assistance, it would probably be extended to all three of the big three. But in the event that one of them collapses, what's the impact on Detroit? What's the impact on our economy, do you think?
Well, if any one of them is affected in the direst of ways, then we're going to see a supply chain collapse. And that could bring the other car companies into it, not just GM or Ford or Chrysler, but Toyota, Honda, all the companies that build cars in the U.S. And that's a spiral that no one knows what could happen at the end of it. Just like in the financial markets, nobody knows what would have happened if the government not stepped in. There are too many unknowns and too many intangibles here at work.
Which probably suggests that there will be some assistance before the end of the day. Marty, thanks so much as always for your time.
Thank you.
Marty Padgett is editor of thecarconnection.com. Find it online. This is Dateline Washington.